A couple things. The stuff we're going to talk about today, if you weren't here last Saturday, I think I'm going to put that talk out today. And it's how we enter the world of the Spirit, enter the kingdom, and how we stay there, which is what we're going to talk about today, and which is the whole deal. And I had a thought on recovery. I think it was number 49 or something on that, and it'll be on the site to listen to if you're interested. Tomorrow night we're going to read Bill's story, and we're going to read the pages that changed my life and the lives of the world of alcoholics when Ebby meets Bill and what happened in that kitchen. Powerful stuff tomorrow. Wednesday night we're in a different part of the book. We started the introduction to step four and why we do step four. And we're going to look this week at what we actually do with the resentment inventory, the instructions. Anybody have a problem with anger? You might want to be here Wednesday night, because you don't have to have a problem with anger anymore. Freedom from anger. So we hope you'll join us. Today we're on page 84. We've covered up to this point, and we're now at the point where we're going to learn how to live one day at a time with God. And I've changed the way I see pages 84 to 88. I think that they should be read initially by new people. I think that you're not too early to start living a spiritual life. You may not know how to do it well, but the instructions are in these pages. And 84 to 88 breaks down steps 10, 11. It's broken down into several distinct parts. What we're going to read today is how we stay with God during the day, each day. Then the second part, which we're going to cover next week, is the recovered promises. Then the third part of the 10th step is what we must do each day to stay in fellowship with God, and the warning about how to use our will. Then the next part is on step 11. It talks about how we inventory at night to see how we did and what corrective measures. Then we talk about what we do when we wake up in the morning. Anybody wake up today? So when alcoholics wake up, they tell us what we're supposed to think and pray about. Then they talk about indecision during the day. And then they talk about concluding with a prayer on how your next step should be each day. This is the next right thing, but that it come from God, not from you, and that you be given whatever need to take care of such problems. They talk about how you can use your will now and how you pray, some suggestions. Then they end it, and this is the final part of the instructions on recovery, is what you do each moment when you're disturbed and how you get undisturbed. And then that concludes to page 88, those are the instructions on steps 1 through 11. And then they have a whole chapter on how we carry the message, what the message is, how we practice the principles in all our affairs, which is step 12, is actually in the next three chapters. So I thought I'd give you the general outline. We covered the promises, which are read at every meeting. Anybody like the promises?
Yes.
Great. And the promises, are they extravagant? Everybody says no. No. Are they being fulfilled among us? We hope so. Now, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, and I thought about that a lot, some of that depends on you. Maybe a lot, because the promises materialize when the ego is destroyed. And when the ego's been destroyed, then the promises come true, because the promises just appear. And it says they will always materialize if we work for them. And I thought about that. They materialize. So you don't get like a You don't get a session with God like on June 21st at 8:30 p.m. The promises are going to happen right now. Please tune in. It's not like that. They just happen. And where are you when you know peace and serenity? What are you doing when fear leaves you? And so they materialize. There's something that just happens spiritually to you, a change in your perspective, the change in the way you see the world. But you have to do the work. Now, you have to do the work, and then God does the materialization. And the work is really facing and be rid of the things that are blocking you from Him. And when you're unblocked from God, the promises come true. So a lot of new people, they hear the promises. They're usually off a card. And you'll hear that they're celebrating their 30 or 60-day birthday, and the promises are coming true, and things are great. And I think that's true for them. But things are getting better because they're not drunk or using all the time. They're not in as much trouble as they used to be. But the promises come true when you have a spiritual relationship with God, because it materializes from the spiritual relationship. And so if you want the promises to come true, then you have to do the work, and then remember God is there. He'll make them materialize. So if you wonder who God is and do you like God or believe in God or this and that, you hear a lot of stuff. Don't worry about that. Do the work and the promises will materialize. God will reveal Himself to you. And that's what AA is saying. Don't worry about what you think about all this. Just do it and see what happens. Now, for alcoholics, that's hard because we want to study everything and think about it, and we need to analyze it if it's worth our while. I mean, we're dying. You know, we're in jail. We've lost everything, but we're going to think about this, right? Get the picture? So that's what that, it will materialize if we work for them. And this is the thought that brings you to step 10. Now, I've thought about that a lot. What is the actual thought? Well, the thought, I believe today, looking at it, is that if I continue to do the work, the promises will continue to materialize all day long, every day, the rest of my life. And so now they're going to talk about continue. And I've heard people talk about step 10 is maintenance. I don't see that in here. What I see is continue. The process is a continuation. So what we're going to read in the next four pages is a continuation of everything we've done up to this point. That's why I don't think there's a problem with studying 84 to 88 the first week you're here and reading it to see what the results are like and how to learn how to pray and how to learn to look at your day. And it's going to continue. Continue is the point. Now, alcoholism is going to continue. The power of alcohol will continue. We have to continue to have a power greater than that in our lives. Does this make sense? So if we stop the continuing, alcohol is still going to be there, because it says on the next page, alcohol is a subtle foe. It's always waiting. And so we have to continue to do the things that give us the power over alcohol. Great to see you, buddy. All right, stop. All right. It's a suggestion. Remember, the suggestions in the big book are really musts, but they're trying to be nice. We suggest you continue to take your personal inventory. We're going to continue to inventory my thinking, my personality all the time, and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Now, I thought about that a lot and talked about it in the past. I see that today as mistakes in my thinking and mistakes in my action. So basically, steps 4 through 9 all day. I'm looking at my thinking all day long. I'm analyzing it. And then they're going to give us the instructions on how to do this in the next 4 or 5 lines. There's just like 6 or 7 lines here that tell us how to live a spiritual life. Isn't it amazing how they could distill it all into such a short, concise way? So I want to continue to look at my mistaken thinking. And how can I see that it's a new mistake now? Because I've done the work and I understand my thinking now. When I'm afraid or when I'm angry or judgment, my thinking's wrong. When I'm disturbed, my thinking's wrong. And I want to continue to set them right If I need to make amends, I will do that. Whatever is appropriate to set my thinking right. Now, it says we've vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Now, I see that differently, too. We're cleaning up the past in step 4 through 9, right? And so I think we're going to vigorously commence to live 10 and 11 as we're doing 4 through 9. I don't think you finish 4 through 9 and then you say, well, now I'm going to do step 10. Because you're still alive while you're doing steps 4 through 9, and you want to be able to live each day in peace and harmony with God. So I think they're all done in conjunction. And it says vigorously commence this way of living. Remember we talked about the other night, we launched on a course of vigorous action. Notice the words vigorous used twice in the book. Do they think that you mean vigorous? And this way of living, which is a spiritual way of life, and it's different than the way we were living before. It's a change in my whole perspective. I'm living to serve God and others and not Michael. I work for God now. As we clean up the past, so as we're cleaning up the past, each day we want to live differently so we don't have to keep cleaning up. Right? So it's important to start step 10 right away and try to follow the instructions. You can't do it as well as you can. I do it a lot better today than I did last year. It's a process. It says, we have entered the world of the Spirit. That is a very powerful line. I talked about it last week. Where were you before you were in the world of the Spirit? You weren't in a good place. You were in Michael's world, or Gary's world, or Todd's world. And I have that card which I've handed out, which shows the world of my alcoholism and then the world of the Spirit. Now, the world of my alcoholism, I was irritable, restless, and discontented. I was selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, and fearful. I harmed others. It was not a pretty place. One day, I decided I didn't want to live there anymore. I made a firm decision that I was done. I didn't want to live in that world. Now, I didn't realize it at the time, but that's what I was actually saying to myself. And I took steps 1, 2, and 3, which puts me out of that world temporarily. 4 through 9 is how I build the arch to freedom and enter the world of the Spirit. And the world of the Spirit is where you're doing 4 through 9 all day long the rest of your life. So the world of the Spirit to me is the world, the real world, that I didn't create, but the world where God and the people are, and the fellowship with God. It's a world where I'm one with my Creator. And I quoted some scripture last week, somebody got upset, but it's where we're walking in the light. We're walking in the light with God. We're not in the darkness anymore. Does this make sense? And so we're in a new world now. Some of us are going to live better in this new world each day than others. See, AA says we make progress, not perfection. And so we're going to be in a new world, but we have to learn how to live in that world well. So we have more fellowship with God, and we're closer to Him, and we can practice love and tolerance. Does this make sense? And so it's a process. Some days we're going to not be very good, but we're still in the world of the Spirit, which is better than where we were before. Now, how do you leave the world of the Spirit? You stop doing all the work. You stop seeking God. You stop working the steps. And I want to tell you, if you leave the world of the Spirit, you'll know, because things aren't going to be going well. And you'll hear people say, well, you know, I stopped doing this, and I stopped doing that, and I stopped doing that, and life is pretty crappy. Well, hello. What a shock. And so we don't want to leave the world of the Spirit. At least I don't want to today. Now, one of the things that will keep you in the world of the Spirit is you're not wanting to leave it. Just the fact that you don't want to leave it means that you know it's a place where you need to be. And so then you become a God seeker all the time, and we seek better some days than others. And so we vigorously commence this way. We've entered the world of the Spirit. Now, here's another line that I've thought about a lot, and I see it differently. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So we want to grow in understanding what we need to do to have fellowship with God and how to be effective. And isn't that understanding God's will for me and the power to carry that out? And I want to improve my conscious contact with God so I can understand what how he wants me to be in the world of the Spirit. And then he gives me the instructions and the power to continue it out. So my effectiveness will depend upon my relationship with God, and my understanding will depend upon my conscious contact with God. And that's where prayer and meditation comes in to relationship, staying in the world of the Spirit. And it says, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. So we have to continue to do the personal inventory, set my right mistakes, and then I have to continue to grow in understanding effectiveness of the world of the Spirit. I don't want to grow in understanding and effectiveness of my world anymore. And that's where I think some people, we get lost in it, because we're trying to get knowledge to understand how in my world I can do better. It's never going to happen. I've got to leave that world and leave it behind forever. So in AA, we don't get knowledge, self-knowledge. We learn everything we're wrong about, so we get out of that world and we're in the world with our Creator. It's a whole different approach. And it says it's going to continue for a lifetime. Now, here's what we need to do all the time. I need to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Now, I thought about that also when I looked at this, to study this for today. The more I grow effective and understand the world of the Spirit, the less selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear I have. So I know how well I'm doing with God by how much, we're all going to have some selfishness and dishonesty, resentment, fear, but the level of it and the intensity of it lessens as you stay in the world of the Spirit. And so we're going to watch for these things to arise. Now, what are they really saying here? It means all day long with God in the world. Now, I'm with God now. So I have a power to help me see when I'm leaving him. See, God's very good. He doesn't make us stay with him, but he tells us how we're going to be when we leave him. We don't feel good. And it says he disciplines us, and disciplines me as I'm disturbed. So I'm going to watch for when I'm starting to get disturbed by my self-centered character and separate from God. So we never have to leave the world of the Spirit if we do this step. If I continue to watch all the time for this, and then it says I ask God at once to remove them, I never have to leave that world. Now, if I don't want to do this and I want to get back to be selfish, dishonest, resentful, fearful, inconsiderate, I can leave that world. I can get pretty far away. And then how far away can you get from the world of the Spirit till you drink again? See, that's the question. And then how long do you want to stay miserable? That's the other question. So these steps are really, these instructions are so simple, but they're so powerful. All I have to do is watch. Now, how do you know when you're selfish? You know when you're selfish. You don't feel good. You're disturbed. Something's asking you to do something you don't want to do. Or you're not getting what you want. How do you know when you're being dishonest? We know when we're being dishonest. How do you know when you're angry? You know when you're angry. How do you know when you're afraid? You're full of fear of the future and angry. You're judging everybody. It's not complicated. And then I always put inconsiderate in there because I don't know about you, but I tend to judge people. Anybody else here ever do that? And so we're always inconsiderate when I'm angry or judgmental. I'm not seeing people as we're all God's kids. We're all human beings. We all have our personalities. And so here's a simple thing. When these crop up, now notice the words, crop up. Now the wheat doesn't suddenly one day become a full stalk of wheat, does it? It starts to crop up. So we don't want to let these things get too high. It doesn't say after you've had rage and you've carried on and ruined your day that you're going to ask God at once to remove them, does it? It says when these crop up. So if you're watching all day long, you've done your prayer and meditation, you're seeking your Creator in all things, you're going to start seeing when this happens, and at once you ask God to remove them. Now, does anybody do that perfectly? No. But if you start to practice this, you'll see how easy it is. It's a very simple step. It's just willingness, honesty, open-mindedness. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. And so we ask God, which is a prayer, at once to remove them. And isn't that step 6 and 7? And isn't watching for it steps 4 and 5? You see? And then you discuss it with someone immediately, which is step 5. So if you have something that's bothering you, discuss it with someone immediately. Now, why would we want to do that? Because we don't want to keep it in our head. Now, if it's in my head, it still has power over me. If I discuss it with someone, I'm getting it out, and they can look at it and see it differently. And so it says, we ask God at once to remove them. I don't remove these things. I ask God to remove them. That's the other thing. I was trying to do better each day, and I was in control, and God was like my assistant. But no, I want God at once to remove them. Because remember, I can't treat myself, my selfishness. Only God can treat it. So when I see selfishness occur, I ask God to help me and remove whatever's blocking me from him all the time. Discuss with someone immediately. You think they mean immediately? Because what they're doing in these lines is how you stay connected to God all the time. You don't get too far off the beam. This is the beam step, staying on the beam, staying on the now. And all day long, we're like that pilot when they used to have the beam. Sandy Beach talks about when he was in training. They didn't have all this fancy equipment. You heard this noise. And when you're off course, it went da-da-da-da-da-da. And when you're on course, it went zzz. And all the whole time he was flying, you're off course, you're correcting. And isn't that what we're doing in this step? We're trying to stay on course, on the path, on the broad highway. Now, we talk about the path, right, the God. So the path has a destination. And what is your path? What's the destination of your path today? And that's what you're really deciding in this paragraph. Is your destination to be with God, in harmony with him, or is your destination to be in harmony with yourself and what you want? And then you're in disharmony. So what is the path? What's the destination you're seeking? And these are the instructions on how to stay on that destination. And it says, we make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Do you think they mean quickly? Now, one thing you should do is maybe discuss it with someone before you make amends to see what you've actually done. The other thing that's in here, it doesn't say it, but I add this, and when I rewrite the big book, I'm going to send this in the New York. It says, we forgive right away. I have to forgive everyone right away, all the time, and then make amends if I'm wrong. So I heard that from Sandy Beach. He says, forgive, and we forgive everybody all the time. And so, and then, when you've done these simple instructions, what do? It says resolutely, that means with firm resolve, that means with all your conviction, all your intensity, I'm going to turn what? My thinking back towards someone I can help away from me. So the lines above this are where my thinking's turned on me. I'm looking at me and what I want and how I see the world, and I have to stop and turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Turn my thoughts away from me. It's not that complicated, is it? Pretty simple stuff. And then it says, love and tolerance of others is our code of living. I can't practice love and tolerance if I'm selfish, dishonest, resentful, or afraid. I can't practice love and tolerance if I'm not in the world of the Spirit. I can't practice love and tolerance if I'm not connected to my higher power, to God. And so I can't live that way if I'm not in fellowship with him. So this is really the fellowship paragraph, the fellowship with the Spirit. Remember, it says at the end of page 164, we hope you will join us in the fellowship of the Spirit. And this is how we stay in fellowship with the Spirit. And then they hope you will join us in everybody's trying to stay in the world of the Spirit. Wouldn't that be a great world? And it says, love and tolerance of others is our code of living. So that's the paragraph on how to stay in the now. And the acronym, I heard this from somebody years ago, is WADAT, W-A-D-A-T. Watch, ask, discuss, amend, and turn. If you do that all day long, your day's going to be good. So if you look back on your day and your day was, you didn't do the WADAT. You just didn't do it. And that's, you see, in step 11, it's our nightly review. We're going to look at the day and see how well we did this paragraph. And then we're going to ask God for corrective measures so we could do it better the next day. It's not a complicated program. It's pretty simple. And so I thought that was good. I think I'll stop there. I'm just going to mention, whenever I say I stop, I always continue. That's what Mark sells me. But he's not here today, so he won't listen. The next paragraph is the 10-step promises. Stop, Mark. And not you. I didn't mean you. All right. Let's move on. The next paragraph is what I call the recovered promises. We're not in recovery. We want to be recovered. And we want these things to come true that we're going to read about, because the next paragraph says that I now have a power, that the problem of alcohol has been removed, and I'm in fit spiritual condition. I will react differently. Now, the paragraph we just read is how you get in fit spiritual condition, what you need to do each day to stay connected to God. It's not complicated. And if I'm in fit spiritual condition, then I will react differently. And then my life will be better. So I'm going to stop there, and then next week we'll do the recovered promises. Thank you.